The House please come to order. It's information of the body, there is a new representative. Mr. Finkelstein was sworn in yesterday afternoon and will be participating today. Would the members please indicate their presence by voting? Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
16 members present.
Today's chaplain is Mr. Joel Orlov from the Juneau Jewish community. Would you please rise?
Prayer won't start for a minute, so no need to bow our heads yet. Thank you for being the honor of inviting me to be the House chaplain for the past week. Today's prayer was invoked about a dozen plus years ago by a friend and mentor, a former legislator, and the only individual to be designated officially as permanent House chaplain. We all remember Danny Plotnick. And Danny came in with his prepared prayer during one of the final closing days of the session. There were papers, budgets, conflicts, pandemonium reigned, energy mass was everywhere and approaching critical. And from where I'm standing now, Danny looked over the floor of Babel. He outstretched his arms. He looked heaven-bound and invoked today's prayer. Help! Amen.
President Barnes, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that that marvelous prayer be spread on the journal.
We'll have to wait for the quorum to adopt that motion. Has every member indicated their presence by voting? Would the clerk please indicate the, or would the clerk please certify as to the correctness of the journal of the previous day?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 95th day.
Are there guests for introduction today? Mr. Kopanen?
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, I'd like to introduce a friend and constituent, a member of the school board for the Fairbanks North Star Borough, Jerry McBeth.
Mr. Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have with me today a longtime friend all my life, Stan Anderson from Nome. He's a city councilman, and he's down here visiting Gallery A, if he'll stand up. And also I've got with me Steve McPeters sitting next to him. He taught music in Nome in the mid-60s, and I'm real glad to see he's working down here.
Mr. McPeters was made the grave error of being on the basketball team that defeated the legislature last night. Mr. Swackhammer?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I haven't had the opportunity this year to introduce two people that have really done a tremendous amount of work on one of the bills that's going to be before the House today, and that's Tom Wright from my office and Melissa Faust from Senator Sturgeon's office.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 95th day be approved as certified.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, that's so ordered. And the earlier motion on spreading the prayer has also been, without objection, is also approved. Mr. Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can we turn to introduction guests?
We're still at introductions. Mr. Sharp, you have the floor.
Fellow representatives, I'd like to introduce a future voter and a young constituent from Fairbanks, Representative Boyers. He's visiting Juneau for a few days. Please join me in welcoming Christopher Marsh in Gallery B.
Are there other guests? Are there messages from the governor?
Dear Representative Cotton, I have read the following and I'm transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 12 Transportation relating to the Alaska Marine Highway System Master Plan, Legislative Resolve Number 15. House Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 31 Resources relating to the bycatch of halibut by domestic fisheries and an onboard observer program, legislative resolve number 16. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 91 Judiciary relating to methods of appointment to the Alaska Public Offices Commission and providing for an effective date, chapter number 14, SLA 1989. Signed sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the other House.
The Senate has approved the following citations, and they are transmitted for consideration. Honoring James Hornaday, Homer District Court Judge. Honoring Prince William Sound, celebrating their 100th anniversary of commercial fishing. In memoriam, Keith M. Lesh. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Joint Resolution Number 40, amended by Adams, Sturgiewski, and Ewing, relating to a proposal by the National Park Service to hire Native and other qualified college students in the state as employees under a cooperative education program and to offer the students career positions upon graduation.
Refer to the Resources Committee.
Senate Joint Resolution 41 by Sturgiewski and Kurtula, supporting the status of the Medical Indemnity Corporation of Alaska as a public corporation and an essential instrumentality of the state and endorsing the corporation's tax-exempt status.
Refer to the Labor and Commerce Committee.
Senate Bill 144 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to relocation assistance for federally assisted projects and programs and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 156, Finance by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the regulation of nurse aides by the Board of Nursing and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Are there other communications?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Hess Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 16, Medical Benefits for Veterans, and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Ellis Chairman, signing do pass Ellis Boyer, C. Davis, Grunberg, and Gall. House Joint Resolution Number 16 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 28, Telecommunications Operator Services, and recommends it be replaced with a State Affairs Committee substitute with the same title and do pass and attaches a zero note with analysis. Report was signed by Boucher Chairman, concurring Menard, McLean, and Boucher. Hanley has no recommendation. House Bill 28 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Hess Committee has considered Senate Joint Resolution 23, labeling of irradiated food, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Ellis Chairman, concurring Boyer, C. Davis, Grunberg, Ellis, and Gall. Senate Joint Resolution Number 23 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered Senate Bill 85, Private Activity Bonds, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by the co-chairs Larson and Hoffman, concurring Hoffman, Larson, Kopen, and Barnes, Phillips, Rieger, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Brown and Ulmer. Senate Bill 85 has no further referral. The Hess Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 209, Resources Amended, and it is reported back as follows. Report was signed by Ellis Chairman, signing do pass, Gall. Signing to amend, Grunberg. Having no recommendation, C. Davis, Boyer, and Ellis. Senate Bill 209 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Ms. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move that the House stand in recess to the call of chair. It'd be about 15 minutes or 5 minutes for the Committee on Committees to meet in the Speaker's office.
It will only take about 5 minutes. We'll have a Committee on Committees meeting and report back immediately to the House under special committee reports. Mr. Taylor? No? Okay. Stand at recess for about 5 minutes for a Committee on Committees meeting. Yeah. House, please come back to order. Mr. Gall?
Thank you. I move and ask unanimous consent. We return introduction to guests.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Mr. Gall, you have the floor under introductions.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Under introduction of guests, I have a great pleasure today of being able to introduce two friends of mine from Metlakatla, members of the Community Council, and both of these gentlemen have been really active in behalf of the public and have a real concern for the needs of the people. I'd appreciate your help in welcoming them. Thank you very much. That's Mr. Ted Littlefield, Mr. Tom Guthrie.
Other introductions, Mr. Kopanen?
Yes, I'd like to introduce a constituent in Gallery A, head of the Young Republicans at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, Curtis Thayer.
Thank you.
and down here to lobby for the university budget. Thank you.
We're under reports of special committees on the daily order of business. Does the clerk have reports, reports of special committees?
The House Committee on Committees has met and recommends that Representative David Finkelstein be added to the following committees, replacing former Representative Ann Sponholz: the Labor and Commerce Committee and the State Affairs Committee. Signed, Representatives Cotton, Chairman, Navarre, Boyer, Grusendorf, and Taylor.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Committee on Committee report be approved.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the Committee on Committees report has been approved. Does the clerk have other special committee reports?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction and first reading and reference of House bills?
House Bill 290 by the Resources Committee, an act relating to the leasing of state land for recreational facilities development.
Resources and Finance?
House Bill 291 by Cato, an act relating to the use of water for certain salmon hatcheries as a preferred use of water and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Labor and Commerce?
I have no more bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Today's calendar, would the clerk read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 37 by Swackhammer, Navarre, and C. Davis, an act relating to insurance for school facilities and equipment and state aid for school construction and providing for an effective date. The Hess Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a Hess Committee substitute with a new title, and it is reported back as follows. Signing DuPass, C. Davis, Furness, and Ellis. Having no recommendation, Grunberg, Breuer, Gall, and Jackal. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the bill and recommends be replaced with a Labor and Commerce Committee substitute with the same title, and is reported back as follows with a zero fiscal note. Signing no recommendation, Donnelly, Boyer, Sponholz, Boucher, Grunberg, Collins, and Lehman. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Committee substitute with a new title and due pass. The report was signed by due pass by Larson, Swackhammer, Brown, Copenhagen, Ulmer, Barnes, Schultz, Phillips, and Rieger. Signing do not pass, Hoffman, and Wallace. I have three committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 37 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the Finance Committee substitute has been adopted. Does the clerk have amendments?
Amendment number one by Swackhammer and Ellis, and it starts on page 12, lines 13 through 19, and it has been placed on each member's desk.
Mr. Swackhammer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move amendment number one and ask for unanimous consent.
There is objection.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one basically would do away with the sunset provision that's provided on page 12. What the sunset provision would do is basically repeal all of Section 14, which would leave no policy in effect in 1995. It's the collective wisdom in discussing this that this bill be given an opportunity to work, and also the fact that we believe that yearly the legislature is going to review this bill because of its significance in public policy as well as the educational community. So we believe that the removal of this sunset provision will not damage the public policy in question.
Further discussion? Are you ready for the question? The question before the House is, shall amendment number one pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk take the roll.
29 yeas, 7 nays.
Amendment number one has passed the House. Does the clerk have additional amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 37 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Is there objection to the advancement motion? Hearing no objection, the bill's in third reading. Would the clerk read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 37, Finance amended by the Finance Committee. An act relating to insurance for school facilities and equipment and state aid for school construction. Division of duties between a borough and a borough school board and providing for an effective date.
Swackhammer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll try to keep my remarks short. As the clerk reflected, this bill has had extensive review in the House. I'd like to also comment that the educational community, which is comprised of not only all the school districts, but the school boards and the associations like NEA, the School Board Association, Superintendents Association, the State School Board, have been very active in trying to address this issue through this bill. I would like for the members to consider that why this bill is before you. I'd like to just point out that there are three ways in which we can obtain funds, state funds, for school construction needs. The first way, Mr. Speaker, is that we have a 100% grant program in place now that basically has two priority lists. The second way, Mr. Speaker, is that we have a reimbursement program of 80% for municipalities that bond themselves with the expectations of receiving 80% reimbursement. And the third way, Mr. Speaker, is that you can get a direct legislative appropriation. You have to ask yourself, does this system work and has it worked for us? Well, I'd like to submit that to date, we have $965 million worth of outstanding debt through the year 2008 for those bonds that have been issued by municipalities. And as every member here knows, it's a fight every year to try to get the 80% reimbursement. The second part of it is that through our direct appropriations process, we have expended $261 million in the past 5 years. And every member is aware of the priority listing, which are life, health, safety. Out of that $261 million, we have expended 21.8% for priority one needs. The rest of the money, Mr. Speaker, has gone for lower priority needs than health, life, safety. I would also ask the members to think about their own districts, especially those in municipalities, and ask them, do they think that if they have a need in their school district, could they get a bond issue passed in their school district to take care of their needs? I think the answer is not. What we have tried to do with this bill, Mr. Speaker, is to try to find a mechanism in which we can have a fair and equitable way to distribute state funds for the future needs of our schools from a statewide perspective. The bill does several different things, but the first one is that we have an insurance requirement so that every school in the state is under the same provisions for having adequate insurance. As the body remembers, we had some schools that were the victims of fire, and consequently the insurance wasn't enough, and so the state came through with other funds to supplement that. The other thing it does is it puts into place a true priority system on a statewide level, so every school is competing on the same level with the highest priority to be funded first. The third thing, and probably most significant thing it does, is it does away with the reimbursement program. There will be no future reimbursement, and the municipalities will no longer have to bond themselves. I would just ask the members to consider the basic facts and that I presented. I would have to say, not trying to steal the quote that the co-chairman of finance uses, but the truth is, it's not a perfect bill, but it's the very best we could do. This is not something that was hatched in the last 60 days. This bill has been worked on for the last 2.5 years. So I think at this time I would let other members that wish to speak towards this do so at this time.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Sherry Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wouldn't want to let the opportunity go by to
have an opportunity to compliment Representative Swackhammer on the work that he has done on this piece of legislation. I've followed it through the process, and he has, the number of hours that he's put on this is, it just has to be astronomical. He and his staff have worked very, very hard. They have been very open to everyone who had a concern. They've made every possible opportunity available for anyone who wanted to speak to the legislation, to amend the legislation, to make sure that it suited the needs of the entire state, and I think he deserves a compliment. Thank you.
Mr. Kokanen?
Yes, I'd like to commend the representative from Kenai for his efforts in trying to solve a very difficult problem. However, to make it really work, we need to have a commitment to full funding or as close as full funding to school debt reimbursement. I believe that would be at the $114 million level. And we are faced with the problem of severe cuts, but I would pledge myself to work for full funding in the Finance Committee in the passage of this bill.
Ready for the question? Question for the House is, shall committee substitute for House Bill number 37, Finance, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, take the roll.
34 yeas, 2 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 37, Finance, amended House, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that roll call vote on final passage be considered a roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Is there objection to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objections, that's been adopted. Clerk, read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill number 40 by Miller, an act relating to unification of municipalities. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a CNRA committee substitute with the same title, and it is reported back as follows with a zero fiscal note. Signing Dupass, Cato. Having no recommendation, McLean, Pettijohn, C. Davis, and Foster. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute Dupass. The report was signed due pass by Hoffman, Barnes, Schultz, Phillips, Rieger, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Larson, Brown, Kopanen, and Ulmer. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that CNRA committee substitute for House Bill 40 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the CRA committee substitute has been adopted. Does the clerk have other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that CNRA committee substitute for House Bill 40 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection to the advancement motion? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the bill's in third reading. Would the clerk read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 40, CNRA, by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to unification of municipalities.
Are you ready for the question? Question before the House is, shall committee substitute for House Bill number 40, CRA, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
30 yeas, 6 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 40, CRA, has passed the House. Stand at ease for just a moment. Mike. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution 40 be referred back to Rules.
Motion before the House is to return H.J.R. 40 to the Rules Committee. Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the bill's been returned to the Rules Committee. Mr. Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We just passed House Bill 40, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 40.
Reconsideration has been given on House Bill 40. Mr. Majority Leader, citations.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are four citations on today's calendar, honoring Lance Corporal Stephen Krell, honoring Donald B. Abel, Jr., honoring Captain Ken Perry, and honoring Manuel Norat. And I'll move and ask unanimous consent that citations be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the citations on today's calendar have been approved. Is there unfinished business to come before the House? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two requests for excused absence. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the members be excused on the day as mentioned. Representative Collins from 12:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Monday, April 17th, and Representative Lehman from the evening of Friday, April 21st through playing time Sunday, April 23rd. And could we have a brief at ease?
At ease. House, please come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I'd like to withdraw my motion.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the motion to excuse those members has been withdrawn.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, there are three requests for excused absences. Representative, and I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the members be excused on the days mentioned. Representative Lehman, from the evening of Friday, February 21st through playing time Sunday, April 23rd. Representative Navarre, from 6:30 p.m. tonight until playing time Sunday morning, April 16th. And can't remember the minority leader's name, but Representative Taylor requests to excuse his previous excused absence from until evening playing time on Monday, April 17th.
Without objection, and I think you meant April 21st for Representative Lehman rather than February 21st. But without objection, those members are excused on the dates indicated. Is there other unfinished business? Are there announcements? Are there special orders? Mr. Grusendorf?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Request the privilege of the floor to speak on gouging and options.
Without objection, you have the floor, Mr. Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The governor of the state of New York has ordered an investigation in relation to the oil costs or the cost of gasoline in his state. And he is concerned that perhaps there might be some relationship between the oil spill and the charges that his consumers are paying in his state. And he says if this is the case, Mr. Speaker, that this is equivalent to picking the pockets of the U.S. consumers. Now, when you analyze what has happened in relation to the price and what we now know about the tax structure, I think the U.S. consumers should be shrieking like eagles and bobcats, as well as the taxpayers, when they see who is going to pay for the oil spill. Now, the word tax has kind of a connotation, insinuation to the public that it is something that they don't care for. On the other hand, if you talk about price increase, we very tacitly accept it is the cost of doing business or what we as consumers must pay to be consumers. Now, as Alaskans, we own that oil. Wouldn't it be nice, instead of simply manipulating the price, would take care of all of our budgetary problems, but what do we have to manipulate? The projections. Wouldn't it be nice if we had that power to manipulate the price instead of hassling with the projections? And we know who makes the final decision on that. Now, on the other hand, we have another term, tax loophole. Now, what is a tax loophole? Well, it's where the little guy has to work a little bit harder to pay a little bit more so the big fella can play. Now, Mr. Speaker, this body passed a bill that was dealing with the economic limitation factor. It is a modified economic limitation factor that does several things. It takes in consideration the concerns of the oil company. We made sure that the major oil fields were not marginal. Prudhoe Bay and Kuparik paid their fair share. But under this new tax proposal, what it does is actually reduces the taxation on the smaller fields. We tried everything we could to come up with something that would be equitable, something that would be fair. 15 cents a barrel, not $0.10 to $0.15 a gallon at the gas pump. Now, what would be the consequences, Mr. Speaker, if for some reason ELF should be ensnared in the political process? What would be the consequences? And how could this happen? This would be, for example, if a committee for some reason should decide to bury this issue so it doesn't come to a floor vote. What would be the consequences? Well, our options should be simple. Turn to the public and be willing to assist the people that are running an initiative up in Fairbanks to repeal the ELF. Now, you must remember that we tried everything we could to accommodate the oil industries with the modified ELF, but the initiative is a flat-out repealer. Now, Mr. Speaker, I'm willing to spend all the time necessary to get these signatures. The oil companies will have to weigh the risk. I'm willing to gamble. I feel very comfortable in my whole card. I hope that whole card will be the Alaska public. Perhaps it's time that we determine now who controls this state, the oil companies or the people of Alaska.
Mr. Pettyjohn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the privilege of the floor to talk about a portion of the remarks by the prior speaker.
Without objection, you have the floor, Mr. Pettyjohn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This representative from Sitka seems to have a great interest in the government setting the price of commodities, and I suggest that if he's truly interested in pursuing that option, he get in touch with the governments of Laos, North Korea, Cuba, Bulgaria, and Albania. They can give you some tips. Thank you.
Mr. Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to change the tone just a little bit. I've circulated to everyone on the floor here today a little memorandum. I was paid a call this week by four senior students at Juneau Douglas who are making every effort to get back to a close-up program in Washington, D.C. And they've raised $3,000 and they need about $1,500. And I told them that I would, even though this is no mapathon or this is no Beans Cafe, I think it's a very good, legitimate purpose. And anyone that would like to participate, maybe contribute a few bucks to these students to get back to Washington, D.C., to be better government students and hopefully the future leaders of the state, could make a check out to Close Up and drop it off my office, and I'd really appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Representative Sherry Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like permission of the floor to speak on the subject of gas prices.
Without objection, Representative Davis.
I had a resolution drafted and was going to introduce a resolution to ask the Resources Committee, since they are a standing committee and have the ability to work in the interim, et cetera, to look into the cost of gasoline dramatically increasing since the 24th of March when we had our disastrous oil spill in Valdez. And as I understand, the prices of gas have gone up 10 to 12 cents a gallon in Ketchikan, 14 cents in Juneau, and 21 to 22 cents in Seattle. I have assurance from one of the co-chairs of the House Resource Committee that that will be looked into along with a variety of other issues, and so I'm not going to submit my resolution. I do find it interesting that at the we had discussed this for the last couple of days, and this morning on Good Morning America there was a segment talking about that very issue, and they had a representative from some of the independent gas station owners and a representative from oil companies discussing why the prices had gone up so dramatically. And one of the statements that was made, whether or not this is factual, is that when the wholesale price goes down, it takes 30 to 45 days to reach the pump. And when the wholesale price goes up, it goes up immediately. So that might be one of the things that could be looked into by the Resource Committee. Thank you.
Mr. Gall.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Could we return just for a moment to announcements?
Without objection, announcements, Mr. Gall.
Thanks a lot. A number of you have had an opportunity to work with Kathy Brown, who's a member of legislative staff over the last few years. Kathy has got herself a job over community and regional affairs where she's going to be able to do a lot of good. And she's having a, or we are having a little get-together to say goodbye to Kathy, so to speak, and wish her well over community and regional affairs this afternoon down at the, this is embarrassing. Well, now, you all just stay in suspense during the next special orders, and I'm going to get you that location.
Mr. Navarre?
Speaker, under announcements, there will be a majority caucus in the Speaker's chambers immediately following adjournment today.
Other announcements? Mr. Grunberg, special orders?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the privilege of the floor to speak briefly on the subject of alcohol aboard ships.
Without objection, Mr. Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A few days ago in the Anchorage Daily News, there was an interesting editorial, and it related to the problems that have resulted as the result of the captain of a vessel who came aboard intoxicated, and as a direct result of that was unable to maintain command of his ship. And as a result of that, an unqualified person assumed the con, and as a result of that, the ship ran aground, and we all know the rest. I don't think that alcohol has any place aboard any kind of a vessel that is transporting hazardous substances. And I think we ought to consider taking some steps to prevent that in two different respects. I think it ought to be illegal to bring alcohol aboard a vessel that is transporting hazardous substances. I think it ought to be illegal to be a crew member intoxicated aboard such a vessel when the vessel is in Alaskan waters. Those two steps would go a long way towards preventing the recurrence of such a tragedy. And I hope that you and the members will consider that. Thank you.
Mr. Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hope my rhetorical device has gotten the attention of people all over the building. Kathy's party is going to be at the Baranoff at 5 o'clock. Everyone's invited, and thank you very much.
Mr. Rieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wish permission to the floor to speak on the same subject as the representative from Spinard.
Without objection, Mr. Rieger.
Mr. Speaker, just one comment that I've learned in looking into the circumstances of people intoxicating going aboard vessels. I got a call which pointed out to me that apparently in both aviation law and in marine law, and someone can confirm this, but it's a suggestion if someone's researching this, if a person loses their license, their driver's license, for a DWI, there is no carryover to losing your pilot's license or your skipper's license or any other license, and that's something that maybe the legislature should look into and see if that's appropriate or not.
Mr. Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the privilege of speaking. Again, I'd like to speak on the price of, subject to the price of fuel.
Without objection, Mr. Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had pre-filed House Bill 37, which would require bulk fuel dealers to have their, where there are two or fewer bulk fuel dealers in any community in the state of Alaska, to be subject to price controls or price regulations under the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. And to date, at any rate, I have not pushed that bill, primarily because I've been trying to find out additional information as to the impact in other parts of the state, to make certain that it does have a statewide effect. Everybody who drives in Juneau at all knows that in this district, in this town at any rate, we have the highest price of fuel, I think, anywhere in Alaska, and at least in a comparable community of this nature. And perhaps, according to Money Magazine, anywhere in the United States, it has the highest price of fuel anywhere. Now, all of a sudden, Mr. Speaker, we're hit by up to 16 and 18 cents per gallon increases here, bringing the price of fuel, somebody said this morning, up to $1.58 for unleaded gasoline here. And it's getting just beyond, as far as I'm concerned, just beyond what we can stomach. I'm suggesting that, and I have legislation being drafted at the present time. I had wanted to wait and speak to Lynn, but since my colleague from Ketchikan had brought up the subject, I have legislation being drafted that essentially will account for all of the price increase since the grounding of the Exxon Valdez.
all of the price increase throughout the state of Alaska. I think that can be done through the Department of Revenue, and I personally believe that we ought to assess whatever increase can be legitimately determined to be as a result of Exxon's malfeasance and negligence in the sound back to that corporation. Account for it separately, and find some mechanism by which we can return that back to the Alaska consumer. I think that it's double jeopardy, and I think that it's banditry, quite frankly, that they would somehow foul up the environment, the ecosystem, for a long period of time, and then have us pay for it, we, the state of Alaska, the consumers in this state. So I'm working on some legislation. I'll try to get it out as soon as I can here, but I think this is a legitimate cost, and I'd like to see Exxon pay for it.
Mr. Taylor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the same subject, I might have the privilege of...
Without objection, Mr. Taylor.
I want to give the members a bit of history. In the 14th legislature, we fought through the very same problem on oil prices. Many of you were here and will remember that. At the time, we did it primarily through publicity and speeches on the floor, and many of us who participated in that, and if I might use his name, Representative Miller from this community was very actively involved. And I worked closely with him on that. It was a privilege to work with him on it. We watched the price, the bulk price out of Seattle, drop about 16 to 18 cents over the next three-week period while that concerted campaign was going on. We asked the chairman at the time, the Oil and Gas Committee in the House, to hold hearings on oil price fixing. We had the Attorney General's office looking into that aspect of it, the antitrust aspect. And he was kind enough. Representative from college was kind enough to hold those hearings, and on three different occasions, the oil companies refused to appear. I asked that he then use his subpoena power to request them to appear, and unfortunately, we were reaching the close of the legislative session, and in the hurry up to close out, there really wasn't time to get to that subject. I want to tell you what happened in the interim after that, because the way they were doing it then was they were charging 43 cents rack price for number one diesel in Seattle. That same diesel, owned by the same company, being handled through the same bulk plant in Ketchikan, was running $1.05 a gallon wholesale price to the retail. Every time their smallest barge pulled out of Seattle, they were making over $500,000 net profit just on the difference. And they were making a profit in Seattle selling at rack price at 43 cents. So here's what they did in the meantime to get themselves out of this jackpot. They sold off all their bulk plants. Their bulk plants here in town aren't owned by the major oil companies anymore, nor are they in my community or any of my communities. Instead, you've now seen third parties move in that now own, some of them were the original managers of those companies. So now you don't know what the wholesale price is anymore. All you can find out is what it sells for in Seattle. And then you have to find out, what does the Seattle big oil company, so to speak, sell the bulk price at to the operative in Ketchikan or Juneau? Because when you actually check into it, your retail salesperson at your gas station is probably making the same amount of profit, charging the same percentage of markup, if you will, that he has been for the last 18 years. What happens is he gets nailed when he goes to buy it at the bulk plant. That's where the price jumps dramatically. And the guy that now owns the bulk plant, he's nailed by the fellow in Seattle. But instead of being able to pierce through and hold some hearings at it and take a look at what they're really doing operating in this state now they're really not, you see. Now they've got one-third paper thing in between them. Makes it very difficult to track back through. But I want to encourage this state along with the other states, because I watch that news too. And in the other states, I might add, we actually do get news coverage of what occurs on the legislative floor. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to remind members that their conflict of interest reports are due by tomorrow. I'll try to give you an earlier reminder next year.
April 15th is the day that ought to be significant to all of us for a lot of reasons.
And Unless there are any more special orders, I'll move and ask unanimous consent. House stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday.
We're adjourned till 11 a.m. Monday.